Good morning once again. You are all welcome to Calvary Chapel this morning. And due to public demand, I'm reporting last Sunday sermon. So I had a lot of requests. Pastor, would you please preach again? I'm like, yeah, I can do that. Very easy. Only in the text that mentions about the topic. All right. So we'll find that again at the end of Ephesians, if we study Ephesians and some other places. So today we're going to talk about work. So some of you noticed I skipped verse 17 because it connects to what we're going to study today. So let's pick up from verse 17. Verse 17 says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And then skip down to verse 20. "To bond servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men please us, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality." Verse 1 of chapter 4, "Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." Lord, we delight in your word. We delight in your truth. We love it when we gather in your name, under your feet, O God. We love to sing your praises. Your word says that you inhabit in the praises of your people. Lord, we love it. Just meeting each other today, just fellowshipping, God, just talking, just praying together, just sharing a cup of tea and a few minutes together as brothers and sisters. Lord, as we study your word, Lord, we ask that you speak to our hearts. We do well to study your word every week. And more than that, we want your word to transform us. Otherwise, we would be those who forget who we are. As you instruct us, Lord, as you challenge us, Lord, as you train us, as you equip us, may we yield to your spirit, O God. May we listen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we're going to talk about work. Anybody loves to work? When you think about, for the most part, the world is capitalist. You know, there's so much inequalities with work, you know, with skill levels, with opportunities. It's actually said that just about 10% of the super rich control 90% of the world's wealth. So that means the 90% of us are fighting for the 10% that is left over, which is unfair. Lots of hazards in almost every workplace. Lots of abuse. In an economy like ours, we have more people than there are jobs. So much unfairness when you think about work. A story is told of, this was in the 1800s, in the days of slavery. However, this particular slave was employed for $25 a month. So he finally left his boss and went to another state to work for another one, at least for pay. So when this guy lived with this family, I think he had 9 children, so he kind of had quite a bit of children. So his boss writes him, inviting back. "Would you please come back and work for me?" He realized that this guy was such a hard worker and that he could not get enough men to replace just one person. So he wrote his former boss a note. He replied, he said, I won't read the whole thing, but there are just a few lines that I would like to read for us. He said, "One thing, I thought someone had killed you by now," he said, "though I don't wish you any harm." Another part of the note, he said, "I have often felt uneasy about you." In another part, he said, "First pay me 32 years of my wages." He never got paid for 32 years. So you think you never get paid? Think about not being paid for 32 years. Lastly, he said to his former boss, "Say howdy to your friend Who took the pistol from you when you are trying to shoot at me? Think about that amount of unfairness. There's a story in England, and this was pinned. A lot of other information was pinned on the noticeboard of this company. But this company said this. This farm or this company has reduced the working hours, and the clerical staff will now only have to be present between the hours 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays. Another line said this. Now that the hours of business have been drastically reduced, the partaking of food is allowed between 11:30 and noon, but work will not in any account cease. The other said this. The owners recognize the generosity of the new labor laws, but will expect a great rise in output of work to compensate for those, or rather for these near utopian conditions. Unfair, right? How can, so imagine work has been reduced from 7 to 6 p.m. How long have they been working? Imagine the company literally told them this is a perfect working condition. You're supposed to work during lunch, you can imagine. And then obviously, if you work with multinational organizations or international NGOs, you get paid for literally sometimes nothing, right? You get like 2 months of annual leave, and some get even a 13th check, right? There's 12 months of a pay, and then they combine the entire 12 months and give you what you call a 13th check, and you're like, what have you been doing? I mean, you've been getting paid every month. What is the 13th check for? But that's just the unfairness in our work environment. But we know that God created work. And it's unfair when we don't get rewarded for what we do, or when we have somebody we work for who is completely unfair. I once worked for a guy, and I think it was in 2010, some World Cup, I can't remember exactly which one. So it was about 4 o'clock, we're thinking, this boss is not going to come in today. So it's a big deal when an African team is playing a European team, right? So he pulled out a TV and we started watching World Cup. I'm like, the guy's not coming. Surprisingly, he did come. And about 4 o'clock, what is he doing here? So he found us watching soccer. So he joined in for a few minutes, like, you guys are watching soccer? He's like, yeah, we're watching soccer. And me and my colleague are like, we're in trouble. But he didn't give an impression we're in trouble. So the next day, he comes in and is like, so you guys were watching soccer yesterday? And I look at Michael like, you see, it was your idea. So he said, just count it that you didn't work yesterday, and I need an apology. He even joined us to watch the match. Can you imagine? So we had to apologize and we had to admit that, okay, yesterday we did not work. Even if the match started at 4, so we've been working since morning. The Bible here instructs us that regardless of the unfairness, the challenges of any work environment, probably even the rewards and benefits, we work for the Lord. The problem is that our bosses don't actually realize, we're going to see this in the second part, don't realize that they also have a boss and he is God himself. And it says here, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Work is a blessing. Work is a command. The first thing that God gave Adam after making him, even before he gave him a wife, was work. Tend the garden. Take care of it. Do some work. And be productive. When we get tired, when we get less than we deserve, when we get mistreated, when we get abused or insulted, you don't feel like you're working for the Lord, right? You don't feel like God is your boss. You're looking at the person next to you and you're thinking, this person is unfair and I need a new boss. In fact, maybe some of you are right now applying for new jobs. You're like, you know what? At your current job, nobody even knows that you are trying to find your way out to the next job. And we forget that, you know what? God is actually the one we are working for. And we have to work in such a way that we're doing everything for him. Literally everything. And for an employer and an employee, God has instructions and God has order. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, what does the Bible say there? But also to the what? Like, is that even in the Bible? God, don't you know that my boss is harsh? And Paul is writing this during an era of persecution by slavery. The Romans literally did not want the church to grow. So what they did was to enslave them. So all the Roman high-end people had to have slaves, particularly Christians, so that they don't have time to go out and preach, or at least to live out their faith. Paul himself is writing from prison. And he is writing to maybe those Christians who are under slavery, under persecution, under no pay. He's telling them, you know what? Obey and serve. And do everything like God is your boss. We can work just to please our immediate employer or immediate supervisor. We can work, obviously, to earn an income, which is good. But we'll all agree that there's nobody who will ever reward us for everything we do in this life. You may get paid for the 8 hours a day you do, or even more, maybe 10. But for the amount of work that you do from the time you started working to the time you will retire, and then you keep working, there's nobody who is going to give you pay for everything you've done. And you know that there's sometimes you work extra hours, but you get nothing. You don't get a bonus. Maybe sometimes you do. In fact, somebody said that if you ever work for somebody who pays you as much as you want, then that person is going to be your idol. He's going to be your God. He's going to be the one you're always looking up to for just about everything. So would you rather work for somebody who pays you less so that you're like, even if you pay me less, God will reward me for the bit that you're not taking care of? And people all across the world are moving from place to place looking for a better job. Labor movement is high all across the world. Well, the same principles apply. It may be a better pay, maybe a better working environment, but it's what? It's work. It has to be done. The first principle that we need to realize, Scripture teaches, that working is service to God. Working is service to God. In Matthew chapter 25 is a parable of a master who entrusts his servants with talents, skills, and resources for them to invest. After a long time, the Bible says, the Lord of the servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. He got a promotion. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you have delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more. Besides them, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord, your Lord. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have it. You have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. If you didn't want that talent, you could have given it to somebody else to use, and they would have given me at least 1 talent back. It's a story of Sam being very fruitful with the resources and the talents, the skills that they're given. And one servant who is lazy, and the Bible calls him not only lazy, but wicked. The book of Proverbs teaches a lot of wisdom about work. And, you know, someplace it describes a lazy man as one who is able to use his hand and get his hand to the plate, a plate of food, and is so lazy to bring his hand back and eat. Can you imagine? There's another place that describes a lazy man as one who just gives excuses. You know, there are lions on the way. I'll be killed along the way. I cannot go to work. Another describes a lazy man as almost like a door hinge. When they go to bed, they swing to one side and then they swing to the other side. They don't get up to go and work. Now, obviously, God will give other people more opportunities than some, but the idea is the same. Whether he has given you five, he has given you two, he has given you one, everybody gets something, something they can use to work. Whether it's hands, some acquired skill, feet, anything. You know, there's a guy who stands just, if you come by during the week, he stands outside Ivanos there, and, you know, he's amputated, he's an amputee. He has two arms and at least a leg. And he's just standing there waiting for somebody to give him money, right? Have you seen those who actually don't have any limbs, but they're doing something? There's one who's actually a hawker, and he hangs his merchandise on his neck and is crawling around town selling his merchandise. And then you have a guy who has three out of four just standing there like, you know what? I've actually seen him many times. He actually has a prosthetic limb. After doing that, he puts it on and then walks home. In fact, I've seen, you go to him, try to get a 50,000 shilling note. He actually has change. Seriously. And he orders food from Ivanos. You can't even afford that food every day, right? Lazy and wicked, like, oh, you know what? You know what I'm talking about? Do something. Well, it's unfair that you lost a limb. We do understand. But you're not going to live the rest of your life just standing and doing nothing. Not even before the Lord will you be giving an excuse. Have you heard the story of this guy who was given a job, was offered a job, and he was told, you know, this is going to be your pay for the probationary period, 3 months. And then after 3 months, you'll get a double. And the guy said, can I start in 3 months? Somebody wrote this, God gives birds food, but he does not throw it into their nests. So one, work is service to God. Let's remember that. Secondly, work is actually God enabling us to fulfill the work. God is actually working alongside us. Do you ever realize that? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. So imagine you're digging a trench, you're planting, you are doing your work at your desk, and God is sitting next to you and he is working with you. You know that our God is always at work. So imagine the amount of work God does taking care of over 7 billion people. And he's paying attention to each one of us. He has to protect those of us who are walking and taking, you know, bikes that are risky, and somebody out in the jungle, somebody out in the farm. There are those who work in the middle of oceans, getting oil from deep under the seas. There are those who work underground, mining. God is watching over them. But God is working with them. Fishermen. Can you imagine? God is our fellow worker. He's been working. He created the earth. And much as he gives us a pattern of rest, on the seventh day he rested, he never has ceased working. Never once. He is working in each one of us. everybody of us is a piece of work for God. And is busy all day, all night. Christians, remember that in everything you're doing, God is working with you. We often don't feel like that. We can be very alone and lonely and even bored. Like me, you know, you're bored and then you're like, oh, there's World Cup. Like, okay, God, can you please come watch World Cup with us? Let's take a break. Three, God provides for us through work. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 to 11. For even when we are with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. They are idle. Obviously, we have a problem of unemployment in developing economies like this. But I don't think that was the case in Colossae. There are people who just don't want to work, and there are people like that, right? They just don't want to work. I was sort of a man who resigned and decided to stay home. And when he was asked what happened, he said, God told me to resign. It's my wife's turn to work, he said. Can you imagine? Even saying that God is the one who told him to resign, and then now it's somebody else's responsibility to provide for him. Able-bodied, skilled. There are those who just don't want to work. But tell you what, they want food, right? They want the rewards that work brings, but they don't want to do the work. Paul said, if you don't work, obviously there's no food for you. We ask God to provide for us, and often God provides for us through work. Now, there are times that we won't be able to work, and we can ask people to help, which is fine, but able-bodied, we need to work. So he's telling those who are lazy, those who don't want to work, those who are idle, you get out, go work in your quietness and eat the fruits of your labors. Fourth, God will reward us for every work. Did you read that? Bond servants, obey your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service, don't just serve when they're looking at you. And some of us are like that, we will agree. If you have a job, you've ever worked, you do work, there are sometimes you only work when your boss is watching. True? You don't want to admit? God is watching. God knows. Well, like, he's not around, let's watch football. Not just with eye service, as men please us to please them, but from the sincerity of your heart and your fear is of God. God is your boss. And whatever you do, do it with your heart. With all your effort. Do it excellently. As to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So with all the unfairness, inequalities, whatever it is that we suffer through work, God says, I will reward you. Don't worry. You live within that. It's okay. Fulfill your job. I have more for you. Have you heard the story of the news vendor who was contracted to deliver news every morning? So he started off very efficiently, dropping the newspapers every morning. Then he started coming late. Then he started coming really late. And then eventually, after a few months, he actually did not show up with the news. He actually came for money. Like, he wants to be paid for doing nothing. I told you the story of this guy. He's actually a Christian. This guy who used to collect our trash. He had his little old motorbike, and he would pick our trash every 2 days a week and takes it to our central place. And it was Christmas. This Christmas is going to be Wednesday. So he used to pick it on Tuesday and Friday. So the Tuesday, I think it was last year or the other year, it was actually Christmas. So we came to church on like, there's no way that guy is going to come for this rubbish on Christmas Day. He actually did come for his rubbish on Christmas Day. And I'm thinking, that is excellent. He will not even make an excuse that, you know, boss, it was Christmas. You know, in the Christmas, people go to the village and, you know, we stay home and we eat good food. And this guy was such an example of excellence in even collecting rubbish that he would make sure nothing is left behind. And then, you know what? He came whistling and walked out whistling. He came and you hear whistle, the guy is coming, you know he's coming. You hear all sound of a motorbike, he parks and then opens the gate and he's whistling his way, he's coming, he's dancing and he has his music and he's just walking with cheerfulness, with gratefulness and it's rubbish, come on. There's nothing pleasant about that. He's doing it, you could tell he's doing it with his entire heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This is not just for pastors and for us to work for church, for just about anyone who is laboring out there and God has given you the work, God will reward you. You can imagine you get some pay on this side and then God says, I have your 13th check. I have more for you. I'm going to pay you. Principles of work. Be punctual. Go early. As much as you can. Now, there are times that you can't, but you should be known for somebody who actually shows up early for work. Work hard. In these days, in our day, we say, work smart. Do as much as possible in the shortest time possible. Do more than you expected. It's very easy for us to just work on our job description. I'm supposed to do A, B, C, D. And even when there is so much that needs to be done, you're like, no, that's not my job. That is somebody else's job. Do more than just what you're given to do. Cooperate with your colleagues. Learn how to work together with them. Now, you know that people are different. Mindsets are different. People are raised differently. So you can easily be an obnoxious colleague and you don't even know it, or somebody else may. But that should not be a hindrance to your work or even a hindrance to your performance. You have a harsh boss or you have a friendly boss, that should not hinder your performance. It should be the same. Help others to grow. Don't just mind your job and like, that's my job. Somebody else is just getting in. In fact, in our employment system, people are looking for experienced employees. I wonder, where are they supposed to get experience? Like, do you go to school to get experience? Pick up somebody who does not have the experience and train them and help them grow. And then you can sell them off for a higher price to somebody else, right? I wish you could do that. People just leave from one place. They're like, but I trained this person. You know, I wish I could do like the soccer players thing. This is my employee, so if you want him, you have to buy. You know, help somebody else grow and be dependable. Be reliable. Be somebody that your boss can rely on. If they give you something to do, they know you'll get it done. Be humble. It's Christian to be humble. There's a story of a job interview and, you know, the applicants are supposed to show up at 10. Like, come at 10, they're going to be interviews. So these guys show up at actually 10. And they didn't know the boss, so the boss was actually at the reception. So the boss acted as a receptionist. So these guys show up and it's 10 o'clock. They're looking at their watches, they're uneasy, and they're bothering the receptionist, who they don't even know is the boss. The interview is supposed to be at 10. It's 10:30. And they're like, don't worry. Relax, the interview is coming. And she was looking for people who are patient and calm. And all of them failed. All of them. Eventually discovered she was the boss. You know. Finish your tasks. Follow instructions. Be willing to learn. Be constructive. Respectful, thankful, cheerful, and courteous. When you travel, I've traveled a lot when I was in sports and even as a pastor. And some places you go to, some restaurants you go to, and you're supposed to rate the performance of the waiter or waitress who served you. And you're supposed to answer questions. Was the person correct? Were they respectful? Were they audible? Were they courteous? And that is going to determine their pay. Well, think about a restaurant in town, right? You go there and the person looks like, what do you want? Courteous, zero. And some people look at you and it's like you're bothering them to go to their restaurant. Well, you know why people go to Java's? Not because the food is different. It's chicken, right? It's rice or it's curry. But it's just the care they give to their clients. Just wins people. Serve with courtesy. Work with courtesy. In fact, that's how many people earn their promotions. The story of two factory workers. And one of them told the other that, I'm going to trick my boss into giving me a day off. Have you ever done that? You're smiling. Some of you have done that. So the other said, so how are you going to do that? She said, you wait a minute. So it's actually a lady. So she goes, just watch this. So she was able to hang upside down at her table. So you know there's a work desk, and then she... And the boss comes like, what is happening here? You're losing your mind. You need a day off. Like, you see? It works. Let's pretend you're crazy. Like, work is too much. The second part is for employers. So employees, you can be clapping. Our part is done. Employers, do you have your employer around? You can turn to them like, uh-huh, now it's your turn. Masters, give your bond servants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So this is what you should do if you have a harsh boss. So I once worked for a guy who... So my first job experience was nice. You know, this guy started a marketing agency. So I was in marketing before. So he would wear ties and all. So we worked for 6 months and the company closed. We never got paid. But this guy was so nice. He was just so nice. I wouldn't mind working for this guy for free. And obviously at that time, I think I was in my senior six holidays. So I was like, you know what? I don't mind working for this guy. He's just a pleasant guy to hang around. The next guy I worked for threatened me almost every month. Like, you know I can fire you. I was like, obviously you can, you know. In my head, you know. You don't do that to your boss. But maybe you have a nice boss. Maybe you have a harsh one. Maybe you're the boss. And as a boss, obviously, as an employer, you're responsible for the health of your organization or company. You know, planning and organizing and controlling and supervising and obviously rewarding those who work for you accordingly. But let me ask you a question if you're an employer. Would somebody under all circumstances choose to stay to work for you even when they have an alternative somewhere else? And it may not be just for the money, but just your character as an employer. Would somebody say, you know what, like the guy how did I work for you? I'm going to work for you as long as this company is in existence. In Exodus chapter 21, we saw this when we were studying Exodus, verses 2 to 6. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh, he shall go out free and pay nothing. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons and daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go free, then his master shall bring him to the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear, brand him with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. This guy has the option to go find himself another job. And more than the responsibilities or even the benefits, you know, he has a wife and children to provide for. He can take them and, you know, whatever it is. Or he can leave them, depending on the situation in the law. But imagine the guy says, I love my boss. How many of you can say that? If you work for me, please put up your hand. You know? I love my boss. I'm going to work for you forever. But how many of us will say, I love my boss? And like, I'm actually looking for another job. January, God, please, Pastor, please pray with me. Not so many cases of people saying, I love my boss. So employers, maybe you're planning on starting a company, an organization, or anything like that. You know, be that kind of a boss to whom the employees say, you know what, I love you, and that's why I'm going to work for you. I'll choose to work for you. You are an excellent boss. Well, what does an excellent boss look like? Communicate the job description clearly. I don't know if you ever worked for somebody who he expects you to do something else, but he actually communicated something else. Offer adequate training. It's good for anybody to receive on-the-job training. A lot of companies do that, and they get people who are good at whatever they do. Timely and fair wages. Working conditions that are healthy. The opposite being a toxic working environment. Trust. Respect. Have you ever worked for somebody who just barks at you? Be approachable. Appreciate the work that your employees are doing. Construct them. Build them. Be constructive. Be supportive. Be flexible. And if we know that God is actually our boss, then you know that you're also going to be answerable to him. I gave you people to take care of. I gave you a company to manage, an organization to manage. And I gave you people to work for you. And how did you handle them? Did you respect them? Did you support them? Were you flexible? Were you patient with them? You know, there are those who will expect you to be like a machine. Like a well-oiled machine, like you don't have any problems. You never fall sick. You know, you never have anything troubling you. Well, that's not the case. We are people. Well, even machines break down, right? We are people, so no excuse for laziness, but just be understanding and approachable and trustable and all those things. And just be, if you forget everything, be that person that somebody will say, you know what, I just love working for you, so let's keep this relationship going on. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9, and you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening. I should have read this verse to my boss. Like, don't threaten me. The Bible says you're not supposed to threaten me. Giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. So the next time your boss is harsh at you, tell them, boss, you're not supposed to be harsh. Please don't quote me. Pastor said you're supposed to be not harsh, you're not supposed to be rude. But in work, God is the boss of the employer. He is the boss, he's the real boss of the employee. Different levels of responsibilities and accountability. There are orders, or at least a hierarchy in administration or whatever it is that happens. For both employer and employee, God is our boss. So we're supposed to serve our earthly bosses just as we serve our heavenly boss. We're supposed to treat people who work for us just as God would treat us, because we're working for him and we are working with him. And you will all testify that God is an excellent boss. Excellent. And all of us would rather work for the Lord, right? Would that say, God, I will work for you because you are an amazing master. You're an amazing master. And we need to look up to him when we go through every difficult season in work. They're going to be harsh. They're going to be, targets are so high. The pressures are much. My younger brother, his first job was at a call center, and he was actually getting an ear infection because of the work. And he had to leave. God opened another door for another job somewhere else. But there are going to be all those difficulties. You know, somebody once told me that if there are three categories of people who need to be rewarded really well for their labors. Number one, teachers. We are all what we are because of teachers, right? And we clap for the teachers. The second category are the medics, people who make sure we are healthy. Please clap for them. And the third category are the security agencies because they protect us. At least they're supposed to. But imagine all those categories are not really the most rewarded. In some places, obviously, they are. In some places, you know, they are not. But very significant people in everybody's life. To be well taught, to be healthy, and to be secure. Maybe you are in any of those categories and you're not rewarded well. Well, just so you know, God will give us more than this world would ever reward us. Amen? Amen. All right, so we go work knowing that God is the one we're working for. We go work knowing that God is working alongside us. Let's go to work knowing that it's one way God uses to provide for us and actually uses our work and provision for us to provide for others. For God will reward us. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Anybody inspired to wake up early to go to work tomorrow? Oh, my God, it's Monday, you know. When is Christmas coming? Almost towards the end of the book, just about 2 more weeks, I think, 2 or 3 weeks. Lord, thank you so much for being an amazing master. But all of us will testify that, Lord, you reward us more than we deserve. Because you're gracious. But you're giving us the strength, the wisdom, the skills, the talents, everything we need to work. These are things that you created us with. There's nothing that we have picked us and it's our own. Even the things that we've learned, you gave us the ability to learn them. In everything, we want to remember that we do work for you. And Lord, it's you giving us the willingness and the ability to accomplish them. You're empowering us, giving us every sufficiency, O Lord. Lord, you are working alongside us. You're working with us. When we sit down, when you're out there, you are sitting next to us or standing next to us or walking next to us, and you are working with us. So, Lord, may we work knowing that you are next to us and how beautiful it is to work with you, Lord. How delightful it is. Lord, through the work we do, Lord, you provide for our needs. You provide for the needs of others. You bless us so we can be a blessing to others. Lord, I pray for those who do not have jobs right now. Maybe they're looking. Lord, may you guide them. For all of us who have something to do every week, Lord, may we do everything with excellence, with cheerfulness. May we do more. Lord, thank you so much that in the end you actually get to reward us. And none of us will ever testify that we are excellent in everything we do. But even in our failures, Lord, you're going to reward us. And Lord, we all look forward to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. So Lord, may we do everything in our abilities to honor you. Lord, for those who are employers, Lord, may you help, may you empower, may you equip, may you bless them. In an economy like this, we need more entrepreneurs and more job creators. Send them, Lord. Provide for them. May they also know, may they also remember that you are their boss, that they are not the end in themselves, but we are all going to be accountable to you. So, Lord, bless the works of our hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.